In your bulletin, there's an outline that looks like this. It looks really long, but it's not going to be that long. Trust me. I just got a lot of information because I want you to take home, so I want you to get a hold of it. We're continuing our series on elevation, on elevate, and elevating our walk with God. It's learning that growing in our walk with God, our life with God, is a process. It's not boom. It's just not instantaneous. It doesn't mean you get saved on Sunday and Wednesday you're Billy Graham or something. You're just going to just be this super spiritual giant overnight. It doesn't happen that way. It's little by little, day by day, minute by minute. And the work began, this process, this work of growing in Christ began the day we gave our life to Jesus Christ. That's when it starts. Spirit of God comes inside of you and you are changed from the inside out. But that's the starting line in a journey. It's not the finish line. Some people, oh, I got saved. Whoop, I'm good. That's it. Well, that's not just it. Well, you're going to heaven. Your ticket's punched. You're going. But now it's time for you to learn and grow and mature in the faith. Philippians 1 says, being confident of this, that he, God, who began, he began a good work in you, he'll carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You know, what good is a runner if you run halfway and you stop? No, you need to finish your race. You need to finish strong. You know, whenever I've been to cross-country meets or track meets, I'll see parents and friends of the runners and coaches, and they're always like, finish strong, run, come on, catch that person in front of you. Yeah. Is that you, Sean? Okay, yeah. Sean's in a problem. He's in a dilemma now because his daughter played softball and basketball and volleyball for years where you can yell at umps and refs. He has nobody to yell at but his daughter. So, poor Aaron, we need to pray for you, Aaron. Okay, so today in part three, we're going to talk about here we grow. When Jesus taught, he used parables. Parables are stories that use a natural example to present a spiritual truth. And last week I was here, I was dressed as Indiana Jones. Dun, 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 dun. Today I could have dressed as a farmer, but I'd have ticked off the farmers because I would have done something stereotypical. I probably would have been in, you know, overalls with a piece of straw in my mouth going, hey, how you doing? And that wouldn't have been good. I would have just made people mad. So farmer can look like this nowadays, in a suit, in a pair of jeans, what have you. But we're going to talk about seed. All kinds of seeds. We're going to talk about plants. Here's some practical, simple practical truths from God's word. Luke chapter 6 says, Jesus speaking, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. If I see a tree and there's fruit falling off of it or on it, and I pick it and I bite it and I go, apple. That's an apple. What can I surmise from the fact that I bit an apple that came off that tree? That what kind of tree is that? It's an apple tree because that's the fruit that was born from it. Jesus said, people do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings out evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. King James Version says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We're going to look at some different things here today. And one of the things we look at each level of spiritual growth is what comes out of the mouth of that particular person. Because if you want to identify where you are spiritually and where other people are spiritually, listen to them. They will identify themselves. There are a lot of people that claim to be an apple tree, yet all they produce are lemons. We're going to get down to the root cause of things. And today we're going to take a look at the words of Jesus and assess our own tree life. You're not going to assess your spouses or your neighbors or the person. You know, the worst thing in the world is just to think, well, I know somebody that needs to hear this, but you don't apply it to yourself. Now, it's fine to think you know somebody that needs to hear it and tell them to watch it online, but if you just think everything's for everybody else and it's never for you, then you have a problem, friend. because it's for all of us. Whenever I preach, I am preaching to myself more than anybody. I go home battered and bruised many times from the things that come out of my mouth. Luke chapter 8, verse 5, Jesus is speaking. He said, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. Everybody say good soil. Say, I want to be good soil. So other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. So his disciples asked him what this parable meant. Jesus said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that through seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand. Then Jesus gives the key that unlocks the parable. Verse 11, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. Today, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm the farmer. I'm the sower of the seed. And today I'm going to do this. The seed's going to be sown, and it's going to fall in different types of soil, representing your heart, you, your life. And what happens to that seed will be determined by where you are spiritually. Jesus said it all begins with a seed. He compares the seed to the word. The seed of any plant, corn, beans, a tree, whatever, a seed can do absolutely nothing until it is planted. The same is true for your Bible. Your Bible can lay there dormant. It can sit on your nightstand. It can sit on your bookshelf. It can sit on the coffee table and look so nice. And it sits there for so long many times without being touched that you have to dust it. You gotta dust it. Because your Bible collected dust from not being used. We're going to look here today at sowing the seed in your heart. This seed will produce absolutely nothing sitting on your nightstand, sitting on your bookshelf, sitting on your coffee table. It has to be sown into your heart. So we're going to look here at 5 stages of spiritual growth real quick. And along with each stage of spiritual growth, we're going to look at the corresponding characteristics of them all. So a person at this stage of spiritual growth, what are the characteristics that you'll see in their life? We're going to look at the fruit of their mouth, what people in that spiritual condition say, one word to describe them, and then the need. All 5 of these spiritual categories and areas of spiritual growth have a need. We're all about meeting needs here at Abiding Word. So in verse 12 of Luke 8, it says, those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. This is number one. These are people who are spiritually dead. They're unbelievers. What does that mean? That means the word is sown, but it falls along the path. It cannot take root, and what happens? The birds come and just eat it and take it away. It never gets a chance to take root. It's never planted. And until the seed is planted, it will never produce. It'll never produce. And that's what happens to people. The word of God is sown into their heart. They come to church. They don't believe in, they're not a believer. They've never received Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord. And that might be you today. You might hear the message and leave thinking, well, that was a good message, but you didn't act on it. You didn't do anything with it. You didn't believe and confess. You didn't act upon it as the word of God says. And as a result, the devil will just steal it and there's no life as a result. If that's your spiritual condition today, if you are a number one, spiritually dead, that means you were, what spiritual death is you're separated from God. You've never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord. That's how you come into union with God. But if you're in this spiritual condition, at the end of the service, you're going to be given opportunity to pray and receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord, and you will get out of number one and go to number two. Promise. Here are characteristics of an unbeliever. They are deceived and blind to the truth of God's love. They're just deceived. They just don't see it. They live a life contrary to the Bible. They may or may not believe there is a God. Some may attend church but aren't ready for a personal relationship with Christ, yet they would identify as being a Christian. You see, you can come to church, theoretically, you could come to church 52 weekends a year, die and go to hell. But he went to church every Sunday. Once again, the great old saying, D.L. Moody and others said it, sitting in a church no more makes you a Christian than sitting in a garage makes you an automobile. Great saying. Of course, then some people twist it. Just because you sit in church doesn't make you a Christian. But then some people do this. Well, just be, see, if you're a Christian, you don't have to go to church. Wrong. Now you've taken it a step too far. I can just have church sitting out under a tree. No, you can't. Just me and my Bible and God. That's your personal relationship with God. That's not church. Jesus set up the church, the body of Christ, his bride. And he set apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers in the church to coach, teach, train, and mentor you. They'll equip you to do the work of the ministry you've been called to. You can't get that sitting under a tree in the park with your Bible. You will not have body life. You will not have community in a local church. I've had people say this. I'm going to get hardcore about it right now. Poor, dumb, stupid Jesus. Oh, Jesus, he's just so stupid. He's so dumb. He didn't know that you could just do it yourself. He didn't need to go through all this problem of setting up local congregations where people could be taught and trained and mentored to grow and fulfill the plan and potential for their life. Poor Jesus. He just doesn't know as much as you do. Moving on. The subset can be set into two categories as far as unbelievers. Firstly, active explorers. They're searching for a reason to believe. I have met non-believers that are more honest than some Christians that I know. They just don't know. They're an agnostic. I don't know that there is a God or isn't. I just don't know. I love agnostics. Oh, Lord. I just want to sit down. Any agnostic I meet, I just want to sit down with them and just love on them. Because what brings them to Jesus? The love of God. Not you beating them over your head with your 5-pound King James. Don't you know you go to hell? Well, they probably already know that in their heart, but they just don't know it here. Many times they're very intellectual, and they just need talked to. They just need loved on and shared with. Not condemned and put down. So these are people who are active explorers. Then there are passive explorers. They might attend church, but they are content with a shallow spiritual life. These are people who come to church. They listen to the message, shake my hand on the way out. Oh, I enjoyed it. Oh, Pastor, I enjoyed that. I got half a tear in the corner of my eye. And they throw a buck in the offering plate, and they think they're a spiritual giant. And then they don't think of God the other 6 days of the week until next Sunday. Shallow spiritual existence. Ephesians chapter 2, this is going over real big. I'll preach to you at home. Ephesians chapter 2, as for you, Paul the apostle, speaking to the church at Ephesus, speaking to Christians, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. That's the devil. You used to serve him. You used to live like him, serve him, speak like him, because he was your daddy. But you got a new daddy now. Verse 3, all of us also lived among them at one time. Who? In the world. Gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. We were children of wrath by nature. But when you receive Jesus, you receive a new nature. Now you receive the nature to walk in love towards people. So here's the fruit of the mouth of the people who don't know Jesus, things they say. I don't believe there's a God. I don't believe there's a God. You know, this has become the cause célèbre in our culture today. We give television shows to people who are atheists, and they have audiences full of atheists, so they can get up and say, religion's just, it's just this and that, and it's for stupid people, and there's no God. Oh, and they all clap and applaud, and it makes it look popular. No, they're fools. The Bible says that. See, I stick with what God says. Bible says the fool said in his heart, there's no God. We have a national holiday. It's April 1st for atheists. You're a smart aleck. Yeah, it's a gift. I don't believe there's a God. You're a fool. I love you, but you're a fool. The Bible is just a bunch of myths. Wrong. God is a crutch. To that, I'll say guilty. It was a crutch for me at one time because I was crippled and lost without God. But once I received Jesus, I got rid of the crutch and I started having a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. So I don't limp along through life. I storm through life because of the Spirit of God living in me. You see the difference there? There are many ways to get to God. This is what non-believers say. There are many ways to get to God. Wrong. Jesus said in John 14, 6, one of the probably the most divisive verse of Scripture in the Bible, I am the way. He didn't say, I am one of many ways. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I am the way. Hindu, wrong. Buddha, no. Muhammad, Jesus. He's the way to God. He's the only way. He's not one of many ways. He said, I am the way. Very divisive verse of Scripture. We don't like that in our society today. It makes people uncomfortable. Well, guess what? I'm not here for your comfort. I'm here to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. If you're comfortable, I'm going to poke you. Why? Because you need to get out of your comfort zone, get off your duff, and start getting busy about the things of God. The day and the hour in which we are living here today, it's not time to sit around and just eat marshmallows and drink pop. It's time to get busy about the things of God. Can I get an amen? Amen. If there really is a hell, I'll make it a party because all my friends will be there. I've heard this one my whole life. All my friends are going to be in hell. And guess what? You're not going to know your friends in hell. It's just torture. It's called Lake of Fire, man. No beachfront property in hell. No condos on the Lake of Fire. It's not going to be a party. Get this one, too. You go to somebody's grave and somebody's put a can of Budweiser there. Oh, yeah, man. He's down there in hell drinking his Budweiser. Guess what? There's no Budweiser in hell, and there's none in heaven either. He's up there cracking one, playing poker with Grandpa. No, he's not. Come on, people. Let's get out of dream world here. It's not what heaven is. Yeah. I've been a good person. Yeah, there are good people in hell, there's bad people in heaven. Because it's not based upon your works, it's based upon what did you do with Jesus. Now, once you've received Jesus, then you should live right and live good, per se, using this example. But it's not based upon your goodness or how many people you helped here on earth. Once you've received Jesus, you've settled that, your salvation question. Out of the abundance of your heart, you should do good things. That's what we're all about, doing good things. Sending missionaries to Nigeria, sending missionaries to Mexico, sending teams to Texas, probably sending teams to Florida in the future. As the time goes on, we'll be praying for them in a minute. There's no absolute right or wrong. Wrong. I'll take my chances with the man upstairs. Tails. I always say heads. Tails never fails you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is It's not a coin flip, folks. If you die thinking, well, I'll be in the line with all the people who've died, and we're waiting to get to the pearly gates, and then we'll find out when we get there what happens. Friend, if you don't know where you're going before you get there, guess what? You're going down. Well, that's rather arrogant. You say that you can know that you're going to heaven before you die? Absolutely. Where do you get that, Pastor Scott? The Bible. John the Apostle, Jesus' best friend, said, "These things have I written unto you that believe." How many of you believe? You believe in Jesus. He wrote it to you. "These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know." K-N-O-W. Not hope so, not flip the quarter, not, oh, maybe, woulda, coulda, should. No, that you may know that you have eternal life. Why? I know I'm going to heaven not because I'm up here talking to you or because I'm a pastor or a reverend or all this stuff. No, it's based on what did Jesus do? It always comes back to that. What have you done with Christ? Have you received what he did on Calvary's cross through his death, burial, resurrection? Or are you depending upon yourself? If you're depending on yourself and your own works, you'll die and go to a devil's hell. But if you're putting your full faith and trust in what Jesus did and Christ alone, then your tick is punched. It's not based on you, it's based on Jesus. There's one word for this one. Number one, it's unbelief. And the need is to be born again and make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. That's number one. Moving on to number two. Luke 8:13 says, "Those on the rocky ground, the first seed was sown on the path, the birds ate it." Never took root, nobody was saved. 8:13, "Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy, but when they hear it, they have no root." These are people who've come to a place, they've accepted Jesus as their Savior and Lord, but as a young plant, they're easily uprooted and pulled back to their old ways and habits. They backslide. They fall away from God. They get saved. They come to church for a little while, but they don't get grounded in their faith. They don't get into these Bible studies, the basics, the seven basics, getting a grip on the basics. Getting a grip on the basics of serving. Getting a grip on the basics of health and healing. Getting a grip on the basics of the basics basics. I mean, we got a class for everything. I made up that last one. Getting a grip on the basics, the facts, the Cubs better start winning or we're screwed. Moving on. Here's the reality. Number two, spiritual infants. These are people, they're babies. They are spiritual babies. Put babies next to infants. Here are the qualities that define them. They're ignorant. Now, ignorant isn't a bad word. "Did you call me ignorant?" Well, if you act like that, yeah, you're ignorant. We're all ignorant on different subjects. I think Mark Twain said that. Me, brain surgery. Ignorant. I got a scalpel. It's sort of sharp. I was cutting summer sausages with it yesterday. Put on a Ritz cracker with some stone ground mustard. I'm going to start talking food. I better stop. But I used my scalpel for that. But do you want me cutting on your skull? Anybody? Any takers? Oh, dude, I need to pray for you. You don't want me cutting on your skull? Well, why? I'm ignorant of that. Now, if you want to talk Ronald Reagan trivia, bring it. Okay? There are things that I know a lot of. Brain surgery, no. I'm ignorant of that. When you first receive Jesus, biblically, knowledge-wise, living for God, you're a baby. You're ignorant, just like a baby is. What's a baby do? A baby crawls around, he finds a spider, puts it in his mouth. He finds a tack, he puts it in his mouth. He finds some food, he puts it in his mouth. Everything goes in his mouth. There it goes. That's what babies do. And that's how spiritual babies are. Everything comes along, everything goes in the mouth. Oh, did you see this? It's like back in 1988. The best-selling book of 1988 was 88 Reasons Jesus is Coming Back in 1988. And people bought the book. Ah! He didn't come back in 1988. And then the same guy said, "Oh, I made this mistake." And he came out with 89 reasons he's coming in 1989. And people still bought the book. Not as many as in 1988. But it's like, seriously? I mean, seriously? Babies, ignorant. New things come along, spiritual. That's why I'm careful about some things on Christian television. New spiritual fads come along and everybody's on board. We all got to pray an hour. We all got to give $55,000 a year. We all got, not there's anything wrong with that, but we got to do this and this and this and this because it's the new spiritual fad. There's another thing with babies. They're confused because they don't know how to replace the old habits and lifestyle, spiritual babies, with the new habits of being a disciple of Christ. Well, I've just received Jesus and I'm just going to run back out and just run around the bars all the time and just drink and run around with my friends. The ones that you're going to spend eternity with and wherever you're going. Now you get confused. Dependence, because they cannot accomplish growth alone anymore, then a baby can feed and care for itself. Little Callum, my grandson, was born almost a year ago now. But when he's first born, Bottle or Annie nursed him. She had to feed him. Now he's getting to the point, he's picking up Cheerios. He's starting to eat some Cheerios, you know. Starting to feed himself. But what if I went over to Annie and Matt's house and they plopped down a steak on his tray of his high chair? When he was a baby, would they have given him steak? No, why? He doesn't have any teeth. What are you doing? I gave him a steak. Annie, babies can't eat steak. They can't digest it. They can't chew it. You don't do that. Same spiritually. Seven basics. That's not steak, but it's nutrients. It's the things that you need to know if you are in this spiritual situation. That means you've just received Jesus. You're a new Christian. You need to get the seven basics. You're eating Cheerios. You're eating baby food. You're growing. What an important step. Don't look down on that. Don't think, oh, geez, that's silly that I have to. No, it isn't. That's where you start. It's just a couple weeks, then you're done, then you go on to getting your grip on the basics. Getting your grip on the basics of serving. Getting your grip on the basics of health and healing. Getting your grip on the, on. And then you're growing. Next thing you know, you move on to the next level of spiritual growth. Now, as far as with the spiritual baby, serving, tithing, greater commitment causes them to choke. They can't handle that. You just need to sit, you need to learn and grow. 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. These are people, they attend church, but they're not actively involved. Worship is more of a spectator activity. They tend to have a lower level of love for others. They are in receive mode rather than give mode. Why? They're a baby. Spiritually, they're a baby. Here's the fruit of their mouth. Why do I need to go to church regularly? I've been hurt by a lot of people, so it's just me and God. I pray and read my Bible. Will I be good enough? I don't need anyone else, just me and Jesus. I provide for my family. I don't have time for church. Let's look at that one. You know, you can be at different levels here, 1 through 5, in different areas of your life. If you ever find yourself where you're more married to your job than you are to your spouse, if you ever find in your life when you're more married to your job than you are to your kids, if you ever find in your life where you're more married to your job than you are to your church, then you're out of balance. You need to get back in balance. I didn't know the Bible said that. Well, that's one word for this. It's ignorance. So the need is to be planted in a local church and someone to feed and care for them. That's why the pastor and all the leaders here at the church are here, to coach, teach, train, and mentor you so you can grow on. To number 3. Luke 8:14 says, the seed that fell among thorns. This is the one that hurts me the most. Unsaved people, we're working to get them saved. Spiritual babies are going to be babies, and you just work with them and help them to grow. This one hurts me. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. This is a person, they're saved. They're maturing in their walk with God. They're gaining momentum. But then the cares of this life weigh them down, and their faith cannot withstand the pressure. I've seen people come to this church over the last 30 years. They will come to church with nothing. They get saved. They get baptized. They get filled with the Holy Ghost. They start to grow in their faith. They meet their spouse at the church. They meet their spouse. They have some kids. They're getting promoted at work, and they either get so invested in work that that's their life, or they start a business. This is the biggie. They start their own business, and they have to put so much into that business, they never have time any longer for church. And many times, their family. And I've seen, there have been times where they lose their spouse, they lose their kids, but they still got their business. Oh, no, wait, now your spouse has half the business. And sometimes the business closes. And then I see them. I'll see them at funerals for people that they used to know that went to church. And they'll come up, oh, Pastor Scott, I've missed you so much. And I'll say, you know where I'm at? But they get so busy with the things of this world, and that thing becomes a thorn that chokes the life out of them. As a result, they don't mature, and they stay immature. This is someone who is, number three, a spiritual child. The qualities to define them, they're selfish. They're self-centered. They're about them. It's a me perspective. And then they're idealistic because they're inexperienced. They tend to be black and white in their thinking as well as naive. Everything's just cut and dried. It's like this, and that's the way it is. And they're harsh with people, and they're harsh with their spouse, and they're harsh with their kids. And this is the way it's going to be. Because they're so loaded down with the pressures of this world, they have to stick to this little black and white world without realizing sometimes you need to sit down and talk through things. It's not just crack the whip and do it my way. They might think that Christians should only listen to worship music. Oh my gosh, I got in the pastor's car and he didn't have K-Love on. Oh my God, OMG. Yeah, sometimes I listen to Seriously Sinatra. Or the Elvis channel. And the Joel Osteen channel. I enjoy that. Thank you. All right. They tend to be legalistic in applying their beliefs how others should live. There's overconfidence and underconfidence with them. They bounce from one perspective to another. Overconfidence can manifest itself in pride. Underconfidence can become self-loathing and self-defeating. They beat themselves up. They made a commitment to trust Jesus with their soul salvation for eternity, but they're just beginning to learn what it means and what it takes to develop a relationship with him. They read their Bibles on Sundays. They might bring it, they might not. I don't bring it because Pastor Scott puts it in the outline up on the screen, so I don't need to bring my Bible. You know what, folks? You should bring your Bible. Why? Because then you can make notes in it. That should be your study tool, whether it's on your phone or you've got a book, ink and paper. They're now willing to donate their time to the church, but not their finances. They don't even tip God. Okay? They enjoy singing during the worship experience. But that's as far as it goes. I'll move my mouth a little bit. Here's the fruit of their mouth. I believe in Jesus and my church is on top of a mountain. Just me and him. I didn't like the music today. If they only did it like, there was just too much bass. Why don't we sing more songs like this? Now, if you want to make suggestion, we're open to that. But if don't turn into the two old guys on the Muppet Show. What are we doing that for down there? That lady singer's wearing a little too flashy of clothes, I think. Don't you? Yeah. Don't turn into those guys. Please. We will usher you out. Who are all these new people coming to church? It's getting too big. That's good. The more the merrier. I'm not being fed in my church. I'm going to church that meets my needs. Why are they always talking about money around here? I remember after we paid off the land, building's not paid off, land was paid off, had a new family start to attend our church over the Coliseum. And for a couple years, we laid low on money because we really had a push to pay the land off. We paid the land off. Then we started talking about raising money to build the building. And guess what? They're gone. They just disappeared. And they left because, oh my gosh, you're starting to talk about money for building a church building. Well, guess what? It's our church building. Guess who it's up to pay for it? Got real quiet in this Presbyterian church. How about this one? Pastor looked right at me and didn't even say hello. When I was seven, here's seven-year-old Scott Porter. I was in church one Sunday, and I was standing amongst some people. I've always been an observant person. I'd watch people. I wasn't nosy. I just watched them. They were right there in front of me. And this one lady was talking to another lady, saying, "Well, sister so-and-so, she just walked right past me and didn't even shake my hand." And I looked at her and said, "Well, did you shake her hand?" "You're impertinent." I had to go home, look that up. Impertinent. I just asked a question. So-and-so didn't even shake my hand. They didn't even say hello to me. Did you say hello to them? Moving on. "I wish they would get another kind of coffee." I don't care what kind of coffee you guys get. I don't drink coffee. I just want hot cocoa. Or a nice tea. But some people, they think church is Starbucks. We provide coffee. We've got donuts. And thank you to the people that do that. But some people, they'll complain about that. Spiritual infant. So one word for this, it's selfishness. And their need is to learn how to engage with Christ on a personal level and start feeding themselves from the Bible. It's time to start picking up the Cheerios. See, sometimes people, they're not spiritual babies, they're infants, but they're still in the nursery and they're 45 years old. And they don't want to give up, but they've been in the nursery for 10 years and they don't want to give up the changing table. Dude, you're breaking the changing table. Next one, Luke 8:15. "But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop." Phillips translation, "They go on steadily producing a good crop." Message, these are the good hearts who seize the word and hold on no matter what, sticking with it until there's a harvest. Now our last two stages of growth come out of this verse. This is the point in our spiritual journey that the word of God has been birthed in our heart, it is taking root, and it is producing a harvest. Everyone wants the fruit, few want to do the work. How big is our dad's garden? It's about as big as like these two sections, you'd think? About that big. My dad's 79 years old. You know what? His father, my grandpa Porter, he had a garden even bigger than that. I can remember my dad going over to my grandpa's house, and there's my grandpa, 75, 77 years old, his shirt off, out there with a hoe, cultivating, getting the weeds out, loosening up the soil around his October beans and his tomatoes and his cucumbers and his corn, and my dad does the same thing. It's work. It takes work to have a garden. You don't just throw the seeds out there and walk away. Now you got to take care of it. You got to make sure it's watered. If it's not raining, you've got to put some fertilizer on it. Then you need to cultivate the soil as it's coming up. It takes work to keep the weeds out, to protect it, to give it time to mature, and then you enjoy the fruit. Thank you. When I get corn from my dad and cucumbers and all kinds of good stuff, I mean just a big slew of stuff. This is a spiritual young adult, number four. Now, this isn't based on your age. If you just received Jesus and you're 50, you're a spiritual baby. You need to grow. You don't just jump ahead. You need to grow. These are people that have a God and others-centered outlook. They begin to see that God has a purpose for their life as their priorities begin to change. They make the sacrifices necessary to serve for the good of others and the honor of God. They start to live Romans 12. Check this out. Be devoted. Paul the Apostle writing to the church in Rome and here in the Sauk Valley. Be devoted to one another in love. What's that? That's in a church. You can't be this out sitting in a park under a tree with your Bible. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. These are people who go public with their faith. They might even have the Abiding Word Church logo as the profile picture on their Facebook page. They might even write Bible verses on their Facebook page. They might even put a church event on their Facebook page. It's not just all about them and their drama, but it's about reaching out to others. Their increasing love for Christ compels them to obey his command to reach the lost. As they are more secure in Christ, they are able to overlook the faults of others. They are action-oriented, zealous, and in need of a way to get involved in ministry. What do you need me to do, Pastor Scott? Go to the guest services booth. They'll get you signed up for something. They believe in the church vision and begin to invest financially. Yay. They now fully engage in the worship encounters with singing, clapping, and lifting their hands. Well, I don't lift my hands. It's not what I do. Well, then you're disobeying God. The Bible says lift up holy hands to God without wrath or doubting. What does that show me? You must have wrath towards somebody or you're doubting. Yeah, you have wrath towards people who lift their hands and you're doubting the word because it tells you to lift up your hands. Doesn't mean you have to do it the whole time, no. But as we're worshiping God, it's good to lift up your hands. If you know the answer, you lifted up your hand in school, guess what? We know the answer. Lift up your hands. That's not scriptural, but it makes sense. Here's the fruit of their mouth. I noticed there wasn't anyone greeting at the far door. Do you want me to cover that today? Yes! Thank you. Can I take you and put you on the copier in the office? I need 20 of you. So if you ever see us with somebody in on the copier with the lid shut on them, we're cloning. I love my church, but there are others who need to be here. There were so many people at church today, it was awesome. I had to park at Challen Middle School because the church parking lot was so full. There's been a time in this church's history when we had to do that. And guess what? That day is coming again. God's getting ready for us. We're about ready to take off. And here's why. The last 6 years, we have been raising up and coaching, teaching, and training and mentoring leaders who would be able to teach people, disciple people. God is not going to send lots of people to a church that is not equipped to minister to babies. I'm not talking babies, including babies, but to spiritual babies and to spiritual infants. We have the apparatus and the structure in place to do that. God's sending it. It's already started. And so if a day comes with you're a regular attender of this church, we say, would you park down at Challenge and we'll bring you down by van? Your answer needs to be, yes, awesome, I'll do that. If you are working in helps ministry on a given weekend at the church, we ask you to park on this side and enter through this northeast door that says Dream Team on it, not to park on this side. Why? Because we want to leave the parking spots over here for our regular attenders and our guests and people who aren't working that weekend. Why do we do that? So it's uniform and it helps the traffic flow and it helps with people coming and going. And plus you're preferring your brothers and sisters, which I think was in the last verse of scripture that I just read. Moving on. I've been talking with some friends at work and I think they might come to church with me next weekend. Awesome. Or I haven't seen Michael and Jennifer at church the last 2 weeks. I need to call and check on them. Is there somebody that you haven't seen at church? Don't just let me know about it. You can let me know, and I'll contact. But how about you? Well, the pastor called. Nobody else did. Nobody must have cared. That's the attitude people get. It's so. In my devotional time, I came across something I have a question about. I love that. People come and say, I have a question about this, Pastor Scott. What's this mean? I might be able to answer it right then. We might have to set a time, but we'll sit down. We can talk about it. And it's so cool we have to expand our facilities, phase two. We're going to give to the building fund to help make it happen. You know what? You know what phase two is going to be? Phase two is going to be a bigger youth building. A building for youth, more classroom space, more office space as we add staff, And then the fusion room, which is basically the youth room now, will become a church bookstore coffee house. Retail hours. That's what it was originally designed for. Just letting you know. One word in this area, it's service. And their need is to identify the unique gifts and talents and how these best fit into the vision of the church for the greatest impact. What can you do to see God's vision at Abiding Word Church fulfilled? Last one, Luke 8:15, then we're done. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, by persevering, produce a crop. Our last group is spiritual parent, number 5. Spiritual adult, spiritually mature people. Not just an adult, but a reproducing adult. This is the person that says, my relationship with Jesus is the most important relationship in my life. It guides everything I do. They're fully surrendered to Jesus and his agenda. They're intentional about building relationship so that discipleship can happen. They're able to reproduce themselves in the church setting. They're able to feed themselves spiritually. Yes, they come to church Saturday or Sunday, but then the rest of the week they have time with God and they're feeding themselves. They're probably teaching a class. They value the church team. They are team players committed to seeing the church accomplish its mission. They recognize their gifts and how they fit into the big picture of the church. They strive to help the body of Christ be a powerful force and accomplish the Great Commission. They read their Bible daily for continual nourishment. Now get this one. They take ownership. They love to give 10% and beyond. The tithe and the offering over and above of their income because they see the church as, that's my church. And they're invested in it. They're committed to it. And worship is a part of their daily lifestyle, not just a Sunday event. They start to see the fruit of the Spirit manifesting in their life from Galatians. Love and joy and peace and patience and gentleness and goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Their faith is not something they do, it is who they are. The fruit of their mouth is, this guy at work asked me to explain the Bible to him, pray for me. It's not, pastor, will you come see this guy? It's, pray for me, I'm going to talk to him about Jesus. I love to go talk to people, but if you're to the point where you can, God bless you, let's pray. Let's do it. I've been working too many hours at work. God's been dealing with me about balance in my life. Will you hold me accountable to spend more time with my wife and kids? I pray every Sunday for someone in my row or section to respond to the invitation so I can lead them to Christ. I'm serving on the parking team this weekend. It's coming. We used to have a parking team here at the church. You know why? Because we needed it. We needed it with getting people in and out of here. Because there were so many cars coming in, one side would fill up, and people would come in and go to the right, and they'd be driving around, and there's nothing, and all the cars are coming in over here, and we needed somebody to say, this side's closed off, because it was full, and they would send them to the other side. They were parking them in the grass behind the church, and all of our workers parked down at Challen and got bussed here. That day's coming. We need somebody to head up the parking ministry, by the way. This entire week, the Holy Spirit's been has me reading and soaking in Ephesians chapter 1 over and over again. Go to Ephesians 1 and 3 this week and pray those prayers for yourself, for your family, for your pastors, for your church. There's a prayer in Ephesians 1. There's a prayer in Ephesians 3. You'll see it as you go along. Pray those prayers. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the Father of glory may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, etc., etc. Ephesians 1 and 3. And the power force is coming to Abiding Word in October. How can I help? Woo! I want to hand them phone books and they rip them in half. I want to be one of the people to hold on to the big bar that they lift up and they lift two of us. Yeah. Wouldn't that be fun? One word for these people, they are intentional about what they do. They're intentional about their giving. They're intentional about their service. They're intentional about their relationship with God. And their need is covenant relationships to hold them accountable in their walk with God as an infant to, from infant to parent. So where do we go from here as we close? Assess where you're at. Look at the circle graph, if we could put that up real quick. If you've never received Jesus and you're spiritually dead and unbelief, today, in just a moment, you can pray a prayer to be born again, to receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord. If you're a spiritual baby, an infant, and you're ignorant in things of the Word, we need to get you into seven basics so you can start to learn and grow. If you've done that already, then you're a child and there's selfishness, we need to get you getting a grip on the basics. Then getting a grip on the basics of service, how you learn to be a young adult. You need to learn how to serve with a good heart. And then go on to be a spiritually mature parent where you're intentional. So our goal is for growth in your life one step at a time, that you'll advance to the next level. Here's the cool part about spiritual growth. It's not restricted by time like natural growth. As fast as you want to engage, study, and build your faith, you can grow. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for loving us, for helping us to learn and grow, for challenging us to not be complacent with where we are as individuals or as a church. But Father, we're going to push ahead. As the days grow closer to your coming, we want to be found faithful in this earth. In Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes